Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Coulter. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today. Let's look at the society in which we live and see one of the greatest problems that we have, which becomes overwhelming and oppressive and politically powerful and religiously perverted. We have been examining the way that the homosexual community has developed the Bible that is called the Queen James Bible. And they have taken verses, Old Testament and New Testament, and have reinterpreted them, deceitfully changing them to give a biblical legitimacy to their vile behavior. Now, let's read the verse again here in Leviticus 18, and then we will do something that's important to do. Now, we have, you can download it right from the home page, the 14 rules of Bible study. And one of the rules is, what is the context? So we're going to read this verse again and understand it's simple to understand. There is no ambiguity in it at all. And then we will look at the context, because it's very easy to do, how should we say, scripture picking? Just cruise through the Bible and pick up only the scriptures that you want and not look at the context and not understanding God's presentation of it and God's thinking of it so that you understand why he says what he says and commands what he commands and forbids what he forbids. Now let's understand this. God is love. God cares for us. God has set before us life and death, blessing and cursing, but he commands us to love him and choose life. And so everything that God has done, even the extermination of the evil ones, is an extension of his love. Now, that may be hard for some people to figure, but we have covered that before in other segments, so be sure and go through many of the segments that we have on Church at Home. We have over 330 half-hour presentations. So let's look into what we're covering today concerning the homosexual definition. Leviticus 18 and verse 22. You shall not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is an abomination to God. What does the Hebrew word toeva, abomination, mean? Now, there are degrees of the meaning of it. And so what they have done is this. Let me read you the explanation of how they have twisted the scriptures deceitfully to make it appear that their behavior is acceptable with God when it is not. It is absolutely, completely rejected by God. And he is the creator. Now, if there are people out in the world that decide to live that way, that is their choice, and they have to answer to God themselves. Let's begin with their explanation. Leviticus is an outdated moral code. Correction. Think of this. Is human sexuality any different today than back then? Why is it outdated? Well, I'll tell you one of the reasons why they have said it's outdated, because it goes back to the absolute evil of Protestantism. Oh, Protestantism. How can that be evil? simple. They have proclaimed that the laws of God have been done away, when they have not. So therefore, that gives them the basis to say that these laws are outdated. But they are not. Now, we've already covered concerning the Ten Commandments, and those are easy to understand. Leviticus is an outdated moral code, but we still picked it as our most important book to address, as most anti-LGBT religious activists cite Leviticus 18:22 and 20:13 as positive proof that homosexuality is a sin, even worse, punishable by death. How do they explain abomination? Here's their explanation. To address Leviticus 18:22 and 20:13, we need to look at the path of translation. The Hebrew word to'eba, from which abomination is translated, simply means something that is ritually unclean or taboo. Really? What does ta'eva really mean? The Hebrew word has different degrees of it. And it can mean that which is unclean, that which is a stench, idolatry, loathing, abhorrent, disgusting, hateful, abominable. So what do? They pick the translation meaning of the least of those definitions. But all of them apply to abomination. Given the definition of the Hebrew word to'eva and the other to'evas in Leviticus, we suggest that. Rather than saying, well, what is the real meaning of this as applied to the scriptures that God has given? We suggest, from what bias? From personal bias of living in sin to justify that, or from the truth of God to understand what is right? All right? We suggest that the biblical abomination by Levitical standards would be scandalous for a Jewish priest. Well, now we're off the hook. This is only for the Levitical priests. How about that? Leviticus, a holiness code for Jewish priests. Isn't that something? Let's look at the context. Did it say, verse 22, you priest shall not lie with another priest as with a woman? No. We will see this applies to the whole nation. So let's read in context what God gave here in Leviticus 18. Now, what we're doing here, we are showing how you study the Bible. You can't go scripture picking and then make it say what you want to say by taking the wrong definition as it applies in the verses. Let's see what God says. Let's come back here to verse 1. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, so it is not the writings of men. It's the voice of God, told by God to Moses to write for the children of Israel, all 12 tribes. Verse 2, speak to the children of Israel. He didn't say, speak to the Levites and to the priests. No, the children of Israel, all 12 tribes. As they do in the land of Egypt where you dwelt, you shall not do. And you shall not do as they do in the land of Canaan, where I am bringing you, neither shall you walk in their ordinances. Let's see what they were doing there. And you shall keep my statutes and my judgments, which if a man does, he shall live in them. I am the Lord. Now, here's a great key to understand. Wherever God gives something and says, I am the Lord, you had better sit up and pay attention because God is saying, I have said this. And so we need to ask the question, do we really love and fear God? Do we really desire to do right? Or are we using the Bible for our own ends to justify our own sins? What is it that we are doing? That's why Church at Home, we teach the Word of God only, and Scripture upon Scripture, and line upon line, precept upon precept, and understand the Word of God and how it applies for us today. In short, restoring original Christianity for today. Then from verse 6 all the way down are various sex acts beginning with incest within the immediate family, within the extended family, and adultery and fornication. Now, come down here and let's read verse 23. He includes every imaginable sex act that human beings imagine to do. You shall not lie with any animal to defile yourself with it. Guess what's the rage in Germany today? Bestiality. And they have it here in America too. And a woman shall not stand before an animal to lie down to it. It is a perversion. Now notice why he has given all of these. Does God love us so that we can do things the way he wants us to do? And then God will bless us in that? Or do you want the curses of God? Remember, as we have said, God has set before us life and death, blessing and cursing. But he has commanded us to choose life and love him. Now let's see what he says here. Verse 24, do not defile yourselves in any of these things. For in all these the nations which I cast out before you are defiled. What does it mean the nations are defiled and the land is defiled? It means that sin is so pervasive that lawlessness rules instead of the laws of God. And these nations were against God. And what did God do because of their sins? He expelled them from the land, as he has with every nation, with every empire that goes against God to sin and grievously sin. They are destroyed. I want you to think for just a minute. Living here in America or Britain or Australia or any of the Commonwealth countries, are we going down? Are we having troubles because of sin? All kinds of sin? Idolatry? Taking God's name in vain? Rejecting the true God? Breaking his Sabbath and his holy days? Committing grievous sexual sins? Lying, cheating, stealing, and coveting? Are we not? Is it not pervasive in the government? Is it not pervasive in our communities? And what's happening to them? The curses of God have come. What will be the end result of it? Just exactly like the nations that God threw out to place Israel there, and what happened when Israel greatly sinned? They were removed from the land and sent into exile. Those are historical facts. Let's read what he says. Verse 24 again, "Do not defile yourselves in any of these things, for in all these the nations which I cast out before you are defiled, and the land is defiled. Therefore I visit its wickedness against it, and the land itself vomits out those who live in it." That's what's happening to us. Look at what's taking place in our lands. Upset weather. Tremendously evil things going on. So God says, verse 26, "You shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments and shall not commit any of these abominations, neither the native nor the stranger that lives among you. For the men of the land who were before you have done all these abominations, and the land is defiled." Hateful, evil, wicked, perverse. And it is sin. And there is no justification to twist the scriptures to make it appear that it's okay to do these things, and that God will not judge you for it. You better fear God. You better understand sin, and the wages of sin is death and misery and wickedness and mental illness, physical illness, and all of those things come with sin, especially sexually transmitted diseases. When you become so perverse, and when you have those things, they are with you in one form or another for the rest of your life. Now, you may have some medical attention to get rid of the immediate effects of it, but as in the case of syphilis, sooner or later, it comes back in full rage. And it is so debilitating that it produces, from the tertiary syphilis, the equivalent of the various diseases from 150 named diseases. But the cause is third stage or final syphilis. And what we have, we can expect, because of the brazen perverted behavior of the homosexual communities around the world, not just here in America, that because of their behavior, there will come another full-fledged, powerful sexual disease which will be likened to a plague or pestilence. So choose what you want, the blessing of God or the curse of God. Let's read on. Verse 27, "For the men of the land who were before you have done all these abominations, and the land is defiled. You shall not do these, so that the land may not spew you out also when you defile it, as it spewed out the nations which were before you. For whoever shall commit any of these abominations, even the souls who commit them, shall be cut off from among their people." That's what God says. There is no justification for changing the translation to read the way that they have done it. They also do this. Let's read their further explanation of it. "To simply replace abomination with taboo would only address Leviticus 18:22 and not the death penalty proposed in Leviticus 20:13. Therefore, we don't believe now. It is a belief contrary to Scripture, and it doesn't matter one whit what people may believe. or what opinion they may have, if it is contrary to the Word of God, it is sin, and it is wrong, and it is abominable. Furthermore, we don't believe homosexual relations to be taboo. Now, is that not written by a mind that is reprobate, void of judgment, blinded, cannot understand the simple word of God? Now, we'll get to the New Testament ones here a little later, because it's amazing what they do to them, just like they did here. So they say, so that solution would have been unsatisfactory. Since abominable offenses aren't all punishable by death, like this one, leads us to believe there is a translative error at some point. Oh, it wasn't translated correctly. Really? It has been translated correctly. Let's read on. If having sex with a man is punishable by death, it wouldn't be called an abomination, because we believe, in our interpretation, that it only means taboo, and it's outdated. Now let's see what else they do here. Therefore, we left the word abomination as it is, and have found a much more elegant and logical, clear solution to this interpretive ambiguity. Let's see how they translated it. So, they have misinterpreted it again with their deceitful analysis of the Word of God. So, what they say is this. In fact, having sex with these male prostitutes in a pagan temple was the most popular form of Moloch worship and therefore of abominable pagan idolatry. We assert that Leviticus 18:21 refers to lying with those pagan male prostitutes as a form of pagan idolatry. So our acts of lying with men are perfectly acceptable. He says here, we therefore change Leviticus 18:21 and 20:13 to read as follows. Quote, Leviticus 18:22, you shall not lie with mankind as womankind in the temple of Moloch. It is an abomination. How disgustingly deceitful. It's not in the Hebrew. But you see the lengths that men and women will go to justify their perverse behavior. Now let's read Leviticus 20:13. If a man also lie with mankind in the temple of Moloch as he lies with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. Now how are you going to get around that death penalty, huh? Oh, well, that's outdated. Well, go to Dr. Paul Cameron's website. Look at the shortened lifespan of male homosexuals and female homosexuals. Look at all of the diseases and mental diseases and problems that they have. Look at the oppression and the murder rate. And you will find that God is correct. Now, I've wanted to cover these in the way that we have so that we understand the force and the power behind it, and how that in translating the Bible this way, they are cursed, just as it says in Jeremiah 48 and verse 10. I do not put the curse on them. God has established that curse. Cursed is everyone who does the work of the Lord deceitfully. and is not the proper translation in the realm of the work of the Lord? Yes, indeed. And should it not be done according to truth? Yes, it should. So you see what men and women will go to excuse their behavior. Now, if you still are not convinced, then I suggest you go back to the very beginning of this series of segments and covering it, because we are not going to do the little summary. We are going to do everything in depth so that you can prove and test and do these things yourself by comparing the Word of God and the truth. And this is why we have church at home. You're not going to hear this in your church on the corner, even if it still has people attending. So once again, thank you very much for inviting me into your home. Be sure and use our other website, cbcg.org, and download all the materials that we have on the home page. So until next time, this is Fred Coulter saying, so long, everyone.